From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. Saul Bellow has died at the age of 89. Bellow was considered one of the great writers of the 20th century, best known for his novels, among them The Adventures of Augie March, Herzog, and Humboldt's Gift. He won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1976, the Pulitzer Prize, the National Book Award three times. In his acceptance speech for the Nobel Prize, Bellow said, "A novel is balanced between a few true impressions and the multitude of false ones that make up most of what we call life." He was born Solomon Bellows in 1915 in a suburb of Montreal, the son of Russian immigrants. The family moved to Chicago when he was nine. Later, Bellow would become immersed in the city's intellectual life and leftist politics. In an interview on WHYY's Fresh Air in 1990, he said it was the seduction of Chicago street life that turned him away from becoming a rabbi.
Street life, pool rooms, sports, a modicum of criminal activity, which was inescapable in Chicago during the 20s, the bang-bang time of Prohibition and so on. And just the sense that you were participating in the life of this immense and expanding civilization, which was so fascinating that it drew me away from my Jewishness, not so as to make me forget it, but that I wanted to combine it with other things. I mean, I was deeply unwilling to follow anybody's blueprint.
For more than 50 years, Keith Botsford counted himself among Saul Bellow's close friends and colleagues. They published three literary magazines together, as well as an anthology of literature. Keith Botsford says he last saw Saul Bellow just last week. The writer had been in declining health for some time.
Apparently, just before dying, he opened his eyes wide and was very much alive. And Janice, his wife, felt that he recognized her, which he would not have done normally. And I think that's very typical of Saul, that he would want to approach this with his eyes wide open. Find out what he was like, and unfortunately, he won't be able to write about it.
How did he seem when you saw him a week ago?
He's been in very, very bad shape. He was deteriorating rapidly. After his poisoning in the Caribbean about 6-7 years ago, he was in a coma for a long time, and I think that affected his brain so that he developed a form of Alzheimer's. It actually was toxic poisoning, but, you know, he was on the down, and I hadn't expected him to live. I thought he might last till the summer, but I think it's a great liberation for Saul, whose mind was a great mind captured in a body that was no longer functioning.
How would you characterize the defining qualities of a Saul Bellow novel?
There are, I think, two quite extraordinary things about Saul. The first is that he reinvented the American language, and that's, I think, the clearest thing that comes out in Augie March, which was far from being his best book, and he recognized it. He said, yes, I was overenthusiastic, but I was running around like a boy with a bucket with the rain falling in it and trying to catch what he could, so I just had to do it. That's the one thing. The other thing, I think, is that he was the most noticing, the most observant man I've ever known. And there will never be his like on that sense. You know, intellectuals were not his meat. He liked barbers and undertakers and bathhouse attendants and anybody who had good stories to tell. He somehow managed to capture people's voices in an absolutely unique manner, and nobody's done that to the degree that Saul did it.
I wonder if there's a line, a phrase of Saul Bellow's that you remember reading and having your heart stop.
I've had even more brilliant ones in conversation, my dear.
Huh.
I can tell you what most affected me, which was a remark which I think should be written over every writer's epitaph and should sit on his desk. He said to me once, because I can be a more complicated writer, and he said, Keith, what you need to do is take the reader by the hand, and he will follow you anywhere. And that's precisely what he did, even with those complicated characters of his. He was always there, telling you how to do it, being funny about it. He just had this gift of turning things into speech, which was memorable. And that's, you know, the sign of a great, great writer.
He's invariably described as not just a great American writer, but a great Jewish American writer. And I wonder if that was a label that he accepted proudly, or if he had trouble with?
Well, that I can tell you for certain. He loathed to be pegged. He knew that he was a lion, and he had his pride about him. And that did not work its way out into taking kindly to being pegged in any fashion at all. And as you know, he was much criticized for not being a professional Jewish writer in that sense, and not having paid attention to the Holocaust and so on. That's always held against him. And I think he was quite right. He was a universal writer in the American language, and perceived as such, though. I don't think he's, you know, terribly widely understood anymore, or that he's a great figure in all parts of the world, but he undoubtedly will be. You know, he was a man alone on a peak, and he knew it.
When he won the Nobel Prize for Literature back in 1976, how did he take that? Was he surprised?
I saw him on the night he left for Stockholm. We dined in London at his favorite hotel, Brown's. I don't think he knew then what a catastrophe it was going to be for him. He was thereafter always extremely averse to being considered a Nobel Prize winner. He would always say that, you know, now I'm supposed to be able to pronounce on anything and everything, and it's a great tedious bore. I don't think, you know, he thought of himself as a Nobel. He felt it detracted in some way from his writing, and that he could have done more if he hadn't been bothered all the time.
You met Saul Bellow on the publication date of The Adventures of Augie March. This would have been 1953. What was the occasion at which
you... We both came to teach at Bard College on the same day. I had queued up at Bloomingdale's that very morning to get it on the first day because I'd always admired him as a writer. I went up, and lo and behold, at Chandler Chapman's house in Barrytown, New York, with Gore Vidal down below, and Chandler Chapman, who is the... I think the grandson or the son of the great John J. Chapman, gave a party for all the new people coming to Bard. And Saul was there cornered by the third editor of the Noble Savage, a man called Jack Ludwig, and found him there sort of cornered by this man I don't think he particularly liked. And he said, oh, thank God you've come and delivered me. And we've been fast friends ever since, dissimilar friends of different backgrounds. You know, there's 13 years between us, but he never felt like a senior, and I don't think he ever treated me like a junior. It was just a very intimate and very rich, you know, I appear in his books, he appears in mine, and it was a reciprocal arrangement. And, you know, at this very moment, the angels of literature are flighting him to his rest, and I'm pleased for him.
Mr. Botsford, thanks so much for talking with us.
All right, bye-bye.
Keith Botsford, professor at Boston University and longtime friend and colleague of Saul Bellow. Bellow died today at his home in Brookline, Massachusetts. He was 89.